Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I pray that the word of the Lord will come very strongly in the name of Jesus, and that you will not miss out on your portion. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, I want us to read very quickly. I'm just going to speak as the Lord lays upon my heart tonight. And I want to share with you, starting from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Really, I should just take a few verses. But I want to, read from the first verse. I want to read from the first verse so that I'm not missing out on any detail. But I want to encourage you to please, at your spare time, try to go through the entire chapter of Ephesians chapter 3. But it's a very beautiful chapter. So I'm going to very fast, but I want you to listen to me as I read. From the first verse. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has been given to me, to you what? How that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Wherefore, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That, and what is this mystery? That the Gentiles include everyone who is not born Jewish. The scripture is saying that the Gentiles should become fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise, of God the Father's promise in Christ, which we come by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who I am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So every time you hear the scriptures being spoken, I want you to think riches. I want you to think things that are hidden, mysteries. I want you to think things that were hidden from Isaiah, things that were hidden from Adam, things that were hidden from Solomon, things that Isaiah tried to see, but he didn't get a full picture. But now has been given to us. That means that what God has blessed us with is more powerful, is more potent, is more magnificent than anything you might have read of in the Old Testament. Praise God. That means we are more gifted, we are more graced, we are more blessed in every ramification. I mean, in the Old Testament, you didn't have the Holy Spirit if you were a prophet or a priest over you all the time. You didn't have the Spirit. You only manifest the Spirit when it comes upon you. But with this new dimension, you have the Holy Ghost with you and in you 24 hours. Which means that heaven is now in you. Praise God. Heaven is now at work here. God didn't put the spirit of an angel. God didn't put some forces in heaven in your heart. He gave you his own God quality. The same creative ability, the same power that was at work in the life of Jesus Christ, that same testament and covenant has now been executed in your regard. You see, and you will understand why I'm saying this. Because this secret is in the open. But most people are not operating in it. The fact that you carry God, the fact that you are a God, the fact that the scriptures which were spoken in the book of Psalms, that ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. That scripture is now being fulfilled in your ears, such that on this earth, we will have men, God men, walking upon the earth. God men, walking upon, God women, walking upon the earth. Not that we are to be worshipped, but God men in terms of understanding. God men in terms of power. God men in terms of grace. That if somebody sees you, he knows that God is not far away. Because you are a carrier of God in his most natural form. This understanding needs to come to us so that we will be able to fulfill the end time mandate. This is not about somebody being braggadocious or just calling himself His Excellency. No. What we are talking about here is that if it took God, the Father, sending his Son to start a work of which we are still benefiting today, it will also take the release of sons to take that work to the finish line. There is nothing God has ever started as an agenda that he has changed his mind about. Everything God is doing right now is still the same thing that he has been doing. Whether you now operate at this level of dimension depends on, how integrated you are with his own agenda. And this is very basic. When a man doesn't really understand this, he reduces the grace of God to something that is just merely useful, maybe miracles. Miracles or divine opportunities. Why those things are covered in the covenant? Greater things are spoken of you, praise God. Greater things are spoken of you. I want to read verse 9, the 9th verse of that scripture. He said that I am to make all men see. You see, the thing has been there, but they have not seen it. Says, so my assignment is to make all men see what that fellowship of the mystery is, which from the beginning of the world was hidden in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Some people go about in trying to brandish fantastic revelations. They tell you there was no Jesus, there's no this, blah, blah, blah. Listen, God created all things by Christ Jesus. If he created everything by Christ Jesus, every creation will answer to his creator. That means Jesus Christ is a co-creator with God. Everything that breathes, everything that lives, every element in the air will answer to the voice of the creator. That was why when he was on the sea and there was a tempest, he stood up and spoke as a creator to the created. And he said, peace be still. And that word there is the shalom. Shalom. That word means nothing broken, nothing missing. You are to return into your space as you have been created to be. So there is a creator dimension that comes into the life of a believer. When you receive the Holy Ghost in your life, you don't have to go through what you are going through, especially when you have sought the Lord and the Lord has told you, I am not the one doing this thing. You see, there was a time that something had gone on and they came to the prophet and the prophet said, the Lord has not revealed it to me. It's possible that the Lord could be doing something and you are not aware. And that is why you must understand that in the release and in the dispensation of power, every time you try to release the power of God, the power of God will always flow in the direction of the will of God. That means for me to become proficient in the dispensation of the power of God, it is important for me to first identify what is God saying about this matter. The moment you find out what God is saying, it's going to be super easy to dispense God's power in that direction. So you will now understand a few minutes from now when I begin to show you a few other things why many are unable to determine this particular factor. Verse 10. Look at what he's saying here. What is this mystery? To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So there are places in the spirit realm that are called heavenly places. Heavenly places. These are places in heaven. Places in the heavenly realms. There are dimensions and there are realms that are above us, not just heaven. There are, Paul calls them the heavenly places. He said, now unto principalities and powers that are in the heavenly places. That means the realm that are above us. He said, might be known by the church the manifold, many-sided, multifaceted wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh my God, I wish somebody understood what that word manifold means. The scripture said that the reason God has established the church is so that he might bless the church with wisdom. Wisdom to engage the heavenly realms, to dethrone principalities and powers, to dethrone authorities over families, to dethrone systems and administrations of darkness. That God said that the reason he is releasing the fellowship of this mystery is releasing the communion, the koinonia of this mystery, is that it is now time, hallelujah, it is now time for the church to become militant, not in earthly things, but in taking over the heavenly realms. There are places that are occupied. And that's why many times when you pray, you can experience sometimes a lot of restriction. You can experience as if there's a fight back. Something is pushing back your prayer. That's why many times we have to pray and pray till there's a breakthrough in our spirit. You need to understand what I'm saying here. God is saying that his intention is that we will receive many-sided dimensions of wisdom in order to be able to speak with principalities and power. Now, what are principalities? Principalities are superpower demonic or satanic spirits. These are fallen angels that work by principles. When they come after you, it is because you have violated a law. You have violated a law of God. So if God says, oh, you shall not fornicate, and you go ahead and you fornicate, they will not ask you if it was a slip of the body or a slip of the tongue. The moment they are coming for you, they have prepared a legal case against you simply on the premise that this person has violated the law of God. Now, somebody say, oh, when I was in the world, I used to sin. I didn't have all these problems until I became a Christian. Listen to me. There is no free meal anywhere. If someone is not saved and the person is living in sin, he is entering a more depraved state every day. That is why you share the gospel with some people. They tell you, look, I know I should give my life to Christ, but I can't do it. Why? Because every time you live your life under the covering of Satan, a part of your soul is being taken away. It's being taken away. So you just find that many times there are people that don't come to Christ until there's a lot of intercession that goes on their behalf. Sometimes you meet someone and the person is just like, oh, I want to give my life to Christ. So you're like, wow, this is awesome. But you meet other people, if you don't pray, they will not be saved. Prayer is one of the primary commodities, the tools in world evangelism, in community outreaches. You cannot win souls if you are not prayerful. Paul said that the mind of God is that the church will operate at a superior wisdom. A wisdom that is above the wisdom of this world. It's a wisdom that compels ruling princes. Because from the word principalities, you get prince. From the same word principalities, you get principles. So if somebody violates the law of God, if somebody comes to church on a Sunday and goes to the home of an herbalist or a witch doctor on Monday, because he has violated the law of God, when they come after him, saying, in Jesus' name I bind you, will not cut it. Oh my God. I wish somebody is hearing me now. So it's not fun for anybody. It's not fun for anybody. They asked me, they invited me to some place. I didn't know it was a witch doctor's house. I just got there. I didn't do anything. I sat there. Though I drank water, you know, but I didn't do anything, you know. The question is, what are you doing there? That's the question. When they were talking, you were smiling. You were smiling. I remember ministering to a particular brother who had taken his girlfriend for abortion. Now, he is not the one who did the abortion. He only took her there. He escorted her there. But as the baby was coming out, as they were flushing that thing out, that boy was a powerful spirit of depression came upon it. Now, some of you may not know that depression is a mental sickness. It's just like malaria. Except that sometimes you get depressed. Not like there's anything wrong with you. You just don't want to see anybody. You are depressed. But there is a spiritual dimension to depression. When a demon is sitting on that thing, because you have taken a life or you have violated a principle, saying in Jesus' name, we not cut it. And Paul is saying, look, this kind of ruling spirits that are so stubborn that they don't listen to anyone, they have no regard for anyone, you must live by a higher principle if you want to be able to communicate with them and they listen. That higher principle is the wisdom of God. Praise God. Oh my God. I wish somebody is hearing me now. He said that higher principle is the wisdom of God, which God is going to give to his church. Praise God. Oh my God. If you are hearing me, please type something. Look, listen to me. Listen. See, let me tell you this. Many years ago, about 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, the revelation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was released again as a work of restoration in Azusa, through Seymour, William Seymour. This guy was black. He lived in a time when people were being victimized, racism and all. It didn't make sense that if God wanted to do anything on earth at that moment, he would use a black man. It didn't make sense. Just the same way, if God decides today to lead a global campaign for soul winning in Africa and decides to use an Hausa man, I beg your pardon, use a Fulani man, it will not make sense to an average Southerner. The wisdom of God is never in the open places. Why God chooses to do what he does and how he does it and how he has chosen to execute it, we never, if you are somebody that is always in the popular things, people like that always miss out on the wisdom of God. God chose to bring revival and Azusa through a black man. Today, we say, praise God, hallelujah. But then it wasn't funny. People hated that guy. Number one, you are the son of a slave. Number two, you don't have any rights as black. And then you just hear Malabo shout. What is that? Let me shut that thing down. The same way nobody ever thought, if God was going to bring a savior to the world, he would bring it through a young lady who was not just barely married, or maybe somebody who had questionable fatherhood, somebody who was not born in the palaces, somebody who had nothing, somebody who was just a carpenter. He didn't have money. He didn't have anything. He didn't have any age mates. He didn't have any grace, mate. Jesus was not the ideal person if God really wanted to get a savior out here. But that was the wisdom of God. One of the reasons God looks at unlikely places is because he is able to train those kind of people, is able to breathe upon them, is able to walk on them, is able to commission them, is able to release them, is able to put his word in their mouth, and nobody will notice anything. By the time he releases such people into the streets and gets them out on the stage, people are shocked because people were looking at some other angle, thinking that that was where a miracle was going to come from. And God will raise an unexpected person. God is always in the unexpected business. God is always in the unexpected. If you are listening to me and you've had to deal with rejection, you've had to deal with pain, you've had to weep privately, you felt nobody understood you, you felt like the way your life was going, nothing major was going to come out of it. You are God's candidate for the unexpected. Praise God. Oh my God, I wish I'm prophesying somebody right now. I said you are God's candidate for the unexpected, because when God does the unexpected, it's big. It's big, it's huge. Hallelujah. He said he's releasing manifold wisdom. Manifold means many-sided. If you begin to speak to principalities and power, you know, you need to be speaking a higher level of command for that spirit to release the person that is in bondage. Those kind of spirits, when you say, I bind you in Jesus' name, the first thing they look at is, who just said that? What's your spiritual level? Then they start looking at you. Which law are you yourself violating? They look at you because they are princes. They occupy territories because somebody violated a principle. The reason why Daniel required help from above was because the angel that stood against the angel of God, the satanic demon, was a prince of Persia. It wasn't just a regular demon. It was a prince that had territory over that area, because that particular Persia was given to Satan. They were given to idols. Everywhere you see a particular line of sin, maybe immorality or doing drugs or gambling, if you see it across, know that the reason that thing is rife there is because there's a prince that is in the area making sure that thing works that way. So you may not just be required to bind a demon. You will first need to set yourself and open yourself before the Lord and repent, because these demons, the moment you come after them, they first scan you. That's their work. They scan you. That is why it is possible for a demonic being, a fallen angel, to resist an angel of God for 21 days. Now, if it were to be some people today, believers, they will delete that place from the book of Daniel, because they don't want to give the impression that maybe a fallen angel, a dark angel, can resist a holy angel. They don't want to give that impression. I'm telling you how spiritual things work, so that when you want to pray and you notice some of this resistance, you become very serious. So we have principles of power. The other one there is powers. This category of spirits are embodiments of authority. You see, let me explain this way. You see, all these fallen angels, they continued to do what they were known for in heaven. Only that now they were in a corrupted image. So, Satan brought worship to God. Right now, guess the biggest industry anywhere? Music, entertainment. So, but you look at it, you can see how big that industry is on earth. Now, imagine how big that industry was when Satan was in heaven. I don't know if somebody is listening to me now. So, just because those demons left, those spirits left heaven, did not mean that they lost their abilities completely. They maintained their primary function, except that they were now corrupted. So when you see an angelic being that is called a prince, a principality, or when you see, Michael, being referred to as a prince, is because he operates by certain princes. Princes, they are like, most of the princes you will find in the scriptures, they are archangels. They are archangels. And an archangel is an angel of angels. It's not just somebody trying to learn this trade. He has been there. So when you see an angel that is called power, that means these angels are embodiments of supernatural strength. Most likely, this category of powers are in the realms of the military. Most likely. Military. These are military tacticians, spiritual military commandos, spiritual military tacticians, they look at you, you see them, you can see power oozing out of them. And Paul is saying, look, if we're going to win this battle, you cannot take away the issue of the principalities and the powers. Because the principalities, they look for who is violating the law of God. The powers here, they are looking for who to exercise this volume of power against. Clear the believers out. Everywhere, look at history where believers were killed en masse. Somebody who was in authority was given a law that was killing Christians. So when you see those kind of things, you can tell the kind of spirits that are in operation. I don't know if anybody is listening to me. So if you may find that you are praying and you are not seeing some kind of result, it's very likely that you may not be dealing with a regular demon. It's very likely. So that should put you on alert. You now understand that you need help. Anybody dealing with princes and powers, you require the wisdom of God. You require the power of intercession, and you require angelic ministry. Anyone dealing with principalities and power, you require the ministry of prayer, you require the wisdom of God, and you require angelic ministry. That's why you will find that in this chapter, Paul was presenting this chapter in a prayer mode. Paul presented chapter 3 of Ephesians in a prayer mode. I don't know if this is making sense to you, because there are people who are praying and fasting and say, oh, I don't know why this battle is not moving, this battle, blah, blah, blah. You need to look at your enemy. You can't be fighting your enemy with your eyes closed. People spend time praying, but they don't even take time to observe what is going on. Because every spirit will leave a trace of his signature in the realm of the spirit. Every spirit you are dealing with will leave a trace of his signature. So when you are dealing with powers that are in the air, Paul was teaching us. You see, I really thank God for Paul. If not for Apostle Paul, we will not know so many things. If it were to be for Peter, all of us would be praying 3 times a day, doing ablution, wearing things over our head. Because that was what Peter was used to. Only for us to get to heaven and realize that there were many things that Peter didn't tell us. Because he didn't know. Because when he was supposed to be opening his mind to revelation, he was arguing with God on the roof that he could not eat something. I'm telling you, we need to when we get to heaven, we need to go and thank Paul. I'm telling you. Look at this beautiful chapter. And Paul is telling us that, look, we have already received authority. Because Jesus, our Lord, said to us that every power in the heavens, every power in the earth, and every power below the earth has been given to me. He said, therefore, that means when you see therefore, what he's saying is that based on this power, I now commission you to go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations, discipling them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all that I have commanded you. One of the things Jesus taught us was how to deal with the strong man. Glory to God. Jesus taught us how to deal with the strong man. So you may be dealing with a community crisis, you may be dealing with a foundational family issue. That thing you are dealing with may not just be your regular demon, the next street. You may be dealing with something that has become generational, something that is in the family because somebody violated a law that God has put there. I'm telling you. And I can tell you for free, if Daniel had eaten anything in Daniel chapter 1, if he had tasted anything, let me just taste these bones. Let me taste this meat pie, because it looks nice. Let's just take a cup of coffee today. We've been eating vegetable for 9 days. If Daniel had tried it, he had violated his covenant with God by associating with idols. Because there are people who don't think it matters. You can go anywhere and eat anything, even though that thing has been offered to idols, and you know it. And you know that your spiritual life, your fire is not strong enough to negate that thing. And you took it. I listened to a story from two men of God. And I said, look, about two men of God. They were going to eat, and the food was poisoned. And God said to one of them, don't eat that food. And he said, why? He said, the food is poisoned. And he didn't eat. God didn't say the same thing to the other man of God. And that one ate. And nothing happened. I say, but why would you tell me to not to eat? And you allow the other servant of God to eat. And God told him, I told you not to eat. Because if you had eaten that food, you'll be dead. The other guy, that pastor, his level is higher than your own. If he eats that thing, it will turn to protein. If he eats it, it will turn to carbohydrate. You are just, you're a man of God, but we need to save your life. So there are levels. There are levels in the spirit. There are levels in the spirit. Come on now. Come on, say with me, there are levels. So when God tells us that we need to interact with this, a wisdom that is higher than what the principalities are pushing around, then it means that if I can attain this level of multidimensional wisdom, not just wisdom, multidimensional wisdom, the wisdom that speaks the language of every level in the heavenly places. Oh my God. The wisdom that speaks the language of every dimension in the heavenly place. Because the scripture says there are wisdom in the heavenly place. These principalities are in the heavenly places. So that means there are places, they're plural. You may have authority in this level, but you may not have authority in the next level. So you need to embrace the wisdom of God as dictated by scripture. You need to love the word of God. So you now see that really when a person is not meditating on the scripture, when somebody is not embracing the word of God, when somebody is not loving the word of God, when somebody is not loving the wisdom of God, you are actually cheating yourself. Because the day you are going to need that power to flow in your regard, you may realize that there are certain updates you have not installed on your operating system. And that's why the life of a powerful Christian is a secret life. The life of a powerful, what drives a believer that you see that as a result, there are things that he does in the secret. There are things he does in the secret. Oh my God. There are things he does in the secret. Let me read that scripture again. He said this is the intent. That unto the principalities and powers in every place might be known by the church. So God wants us to know them. By the time we begin to, they begin, because listen, it is these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that determine culture. They are the spirits that determine how people behave. All of a sudden, just notice everybody is dressing in a particular way. Oh my God. I wish people would see what I'm saying here. You just notice people are singing the same song. It is the activities of spirits at that level. It's not small demons in your area. There are demons that if you all in your elbow in your street decides to come out and sweep the street and keep it clean, the moment that street is clean, the demons will leave. Because demons, spirits of uncleanliness always thrive around literally, you know, dirty places. You can't find a spirit of uncleanliness in a very clean place. And that's why Jesus said to us that when you cast out a spirit, you have to quickly occupy that space. There is no vacuum. There's no room for vacuum in the spirit. You cast out a demon from somebody, then you told him, okay, go and rest at home. Next Sunday, come for baptism of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. This is what Jesus said. Because sometimes it's tiring when you have to, like, talk to people and they think that you are sharing your personal idea. I mean, I'm quoting our Lord Jesus here. He said, if a person is free from a demon, that the spiritual space of that person has become free. It's become open. It's open for first taker. Whoever comes first will take it. Now, the person that was delivered doesn't even know that there is no ownership yet over his spirit. There's no ownership yet over his soul. He's just excited that, oh, I went to that church. They prayed for me. Then I became free. He's excited. He doesn't know that in the spirit realm, they're already campaigning for who will take over that space. I went to preach somewhere in Benin City, and the pastor was, oh, this girl that has, I think, maybe close to about 300 demons. The pastor said, oh, you need to please help me pray for her. She's someone I love. I want her to be free. I said, pastor, leave this girl alone. Let her be enjoying her demons. The pastor felt that was harsh, but I was just being honest. The problem is, you tell people the truth, they take it personal. But I mean, it's the truth. The reason why I didn't want to pray for that lady is because I saw the pastor and I noticed that the pastor was spiritually weak. The pastor would not be able to take care of that girl's spiritual progress. But this girl has a great-grandmother at home who is very old and alive, and every day offers sacrifices to over 300 idols in the compound in Benin City. Over 300 idols. Over 300 idols on one girl's head. On one girl's head. Now, who do you think God... Let's be fair. Somebody offers... Wakes up early in the morning. Embra sifano, lo pretaya, le sifaka, lo pregada, le kazola, vrati kashia, masu tepria, ali kazal. Somebody wakes up and is... You pray 10 minutes. Your kurumu jeje prayer of 10 minutes. Somebody in another corner calling the same name is pouring libation on 300 idols. Excuse me, how many minutes will it take her? A very old woman. It's a no-brainer. Because the spirit realm respects time allocation. You see, time doesn't mean anything to them there. But it means something to us here. That means that you can trade your time as a token of sacrifice. That is why when we pray 3 hours, 6 hours, we generate more power than somebody who prays 5 minutes. Because in this realm, God recognizes that the most powerful resource here is time. And that whatever I allocate my time to must be converted back to me in some form of value. That is why when some of you sleep, you always dream like you are in a film, like you are an actress in a film. It's either you are running after something, you are jumping on top of buildings, you are somersaulting, you are flying. Because you go and check what you have been watching. God will respect whatever you allocate time to. God will respect it. Satan will also respect it. Whoever that activity tilts towards, we have a responsibility to honor you and reward you. Oh my God, 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 oh my God. I wish somebody heard that one. See, if whoever that activity you are doing for 6 hours tilts towards, that deity, we have to reward you for the time allocated. So, it's not a joking matter to come into the wisdom. Look at how Paul wanted to introduce us to principalities and power, and he did it talking about prayer. Talking about prayer. He began to talk about the revelation. He began to talk about how we did not stop to pray for them. Go and start from chapter 1 and see the way Paul was praying till he got to chapter 3. Just to be able to present the idea of principalities and powers. So you now realize that serving Satan is not actually a better option. You are not a free man simply because you don't have to pray every morning. You don't have to pray in tongues on your way to work. You don't have to pray in tongues. And that is why Satan knows that the most powerful weapon he can release against you is to take you out of the spirit realm. What does it mean for Satan to take a person out of the spirit realm? It is not when you stop shaking and you are shaking like a Shakespeare, or you are shaking like a leaf, or you want to fall under that anointing. To stay out of the spirit realm, or to bring a man out of the spirit realm, is to take away his consciousness from dwelling on the Holy Spirit. To take a man away from the spirit realm is when in his consciousness, God is not the primary factor that flows every second. Scriptures are not there. Godly thoughts are not there. Prayer is not there. Everything that has to do with God is not there. And you can live like that normally. That man is no more in the spirit. That's why you read the book of Revelation chapter 4. John said, I was in the spirit of the Lord's day. What happened the moment he was in the spirit? The moment he was in the spirit, his spiritual eyes were open. He became aware. He was able to rise into the level of what he was seeing. Why? Because when people are in the spirit, they engage with divine things. Let me read something to you I hope I can do this one very quickly. In Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. And I'll round up here. Oh, I hope somebody is getting blessed tonight. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Romans chapter 8, let's read from verse 11. It said, but if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead, if that spirit dwells in you, he that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Please understand what we are saying here. When a man comes to Christ, he receives the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit begins to live on the inside of him. Now, God is saying to us that if a man is truly saved and he comes to Christ, that one of the primary responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is not just to teach him the Word of God. It is that when he teaches him that Word of God, the Word of God must grow to the point where that thing has physical, literal impact on his flesh, on his physical body. Because the primary element that carries life is the Word of God. The primary element that carries divine life is the Word of God. Our Lord Jesus taught us and he said, it is the words that I speak to you that are spirit and they are life. So if the spirit that dwells in us is meant to give us life, how do you think it will give us life? Through the revelation of the Word of God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. You see why you should be bothered every time God doesn't speak to you with scriptures. Every time you are on the way to work or you are somewhere, you are working on your computer, and God doesn't intercourse with you by bringing scriptures to your mind, by, you know, laying things softly in your heart, there is a problem, and we need to quickly look at that. Because the way the Spirit of God moves divine life from the tank of your spirit into the tank of your body is through the revelation of the Word of God. He said this same Spirit will give life to your mortal bodies. That means that gradually your body is being exposed to the immortal life. Certain things are going to happen to people around you and you are going to walk out on earth. Simply because you have stayed so much with the Holy Spirit that even your flesh is beginning to identify with that reality. This is not going to happen when Jesus comes. This is something that is going to happen while we are here on earth. It is a reality of the New Testament. Just because nobody is talking about it doesn't mean God has changed his mind. Praise God. Oh my God. Oh my God. This is deep stuff. I'm not sure we're already out of time. Just because nobody is talking about it. Oh my God. So when you wake up in the morning, you say, Father, I thank you because the life of God is on the inside of me. That life is flowing in my spirit. It's flowing in my spirit to the overflowing. And it's flowing in my soul, bringing my soul into obedience to the word of the Lord. And it's flowing in my body, such that when people touch me, life can flow and they'll be healed. When people touch me, the life of God can flow and they are touched. Their situations are settled. Because I am a life carrier of the life of God. The same God quality, the same life that flows in the veins of Jehovah is flowing in me in such an overflowing dimension. It's the life of God. It's not you. Jesus said, who touched me? That Jesus said, who touched me for Christ's sake? I mean, he was going there to heal. People were there around him. Only one woman could identify with what Jesus carried. Most people, we always miss out on what God is ready to do. Most people, religious people, people who think they have it all sorted out, they always miss out. It is always the woman. It is always that brother who responds in faith that gets a flow of the power of God. So if God releases the word of God by the Holy Spirit into my spirit, and then my soul begins to interact with it, I continue to do that over a period of time, consistently, then the life of God begins to flow, even into my body. And then the same way I was, how did I get the word of God? Because I believed the word that was imparted to my spirit by faith. Then I transferred it to my soul. And then I compelled my mind, through the renewing of the mind, according to Romans chapter 12, to embrace that revelation. The moment my mind can travel and take that journey, then my body has no option. It has to take that journey. The moment the thing flows into my body, then I am also able to release it. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And you can release it by will. just because it is in your body. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If you believe what I'm telling you, this same life will reduce your aging factor. It will slow it down. Okay. I just said something now. If you heard it, good. I'm going to say it one more time. If you embrace this dimension of wisdom, it will slow your aging process. Yeah. You won't need an aging cream for that one, anti-aging cream. You won't need, you begin to operate at a reverse technology. You'll be 50. People will think you're actually 35. Oh my God. You've got to let your mind open and see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us that we have not touched. There was something peculiar about the wisdom Daniel had. If not, no king would want to be his friend. There was something peculiar about Joseph. These two guys were very significant in the Old Testament for wisdom. Oh my God. There is something peculiar about these guys. And we need to go back and read the story of Joseph. Then go back and read the story of Daniel. These two guys were in the government. They were in the economy. And they operated at a wisdom that nations needed to gather around. And God put all these guys in scripture as an example and a prototype for us. Because in the last day, God said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. Then he's going to pour the spirit upon all flesh. He's going to pour it upon his sons who are in the banks. He's going to pour it upon his sons who are in the military. He's not just going to be pastor. He's going to pour his spirit upon those who are in government. He said, and then they'll begin to prophesy. So if God has a son in the government house, you will find him prophesying. You'll find his sons in the hospitals. They will do their jobs prophesying. If they're in the banks, they will do their jobs prophesying. The prophecy there is talking about bringing the divine element into what they have to do. Bringing the God factor into what they have to do. They will sell businesses. They will sell houses. They will do stuff. They are going to create solutions, IT, software, all kinds of crazy stuff, simply because there's a prophetic element to what they have to do. This is what Paul was talking about. He said, we will engage with principalities and powers by the manifold wisdom of God. If they say, oh, that guy is too good in IT, let's take him to the economy, the wisdom level will change again. And you will begin to speak the language of that new level. Then they change the direction again. Say, we are going to mess him up. We are going to go into his family. They get there again. The wisdom morphs into the requirement of the day. The wisdom changes pattern like a chameleon into that which is required. This is too good a resource. This is too good a material. This is too good a gift for a believer not to operate in this thing. This thing cannot end with Paul. Praise God. This thing cannot end with Paul. Paul has given us what we need. We now need to take it and make that prophecy come alive. Pray in tongues for 1 minute if you can. Libra shitala ne sopra diakadiza. Oh, baragada balaka soto pregedia labasaka. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because these things you have hidden from the wise and you have revealed to your children. You've hidden these things from kings and you've given them to us. And yes, Lord, we believe. Yes, Lord, we believe. Yes, Lord, we believe that these things are coming to pass in our days. They are coming to pass in our time. Even among the youngest of us, you are causing this to happen in our time. We give you glory, O God. We give you honor. Because this atmosphere is now open. It's now charged. We are now being released. Because when the word goes forth, then there will be manifestations. And we thank you, Father, because over everyone connected, over everyone hearing these words and believing in their heart, you are causing forth manifestations to begin to break forth. As we begin to tarry with you, as we begin to feed upon your words, as we begin to consume that which you have given to us in scriptures, you are causing the wisdom of God in its multifaceted dimensions to be released. So that wherever we are not disadvantaged. We thank you, Father, and we give you glory for that which you have done and that which has been given to us. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah.